गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Morning, we're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa Adi Devo Jagatam Puro Guru. Sa Adi Devo Jagatam Puro Guru. Svadishnyam Ashtaya Sisriksha Yaikshata Svadishnyam Ashtaya Sisriksha Yaikshata Tam Nadya Gachchad Dusham Atra Sanmatam Tam nādhya gacchad drusham atra sammatam La pancha nirmana vidhir yaya bhavet La pancha nirmana vidhir yaya bhavet
Thank you.
sa hi adi deva,
the first demigod,
jagatam,
of the universe,
para,
supreme,
guru,
spiritual master,
swadishnyam,
his lotus seat,
asthaya,
to find the source of it,
sisrikshaya,
for the matter of creating the universal affairs,
aikshata,
began to think,
tam,
in that manner,
na,
could not,
adyagachat,
understand,
drisham,
the direction,
atra,
therein,
samatam,
just the proper way,
prapancha,
material,
nirmana,
construction,
vidhi,
process,
yaya,
as much as,
bhavit,
should be.
Translation:
Lord Brahma, the first spiritual master, supreme in the universe, could not trace out the source of his lotus seat. And while thinking of creating the material world, he could not understand the proper direction for such creative work, nor could he find out the process for such creation. Lord Brahma, the first spiritual master,
supreme in the universe,
could not trace out the source of his lotus seat. And while thinking of creating the material world, he could not understand the proper direction
for such creative work,
nor could he find out the process for such creation. Purport. This verse is the prelude for explaining the transcendental nature of the form and the abode of the Lord. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has already been said that the Supreme Absolute Truth exists in his own abode without any touch of the deluding energy. Therefore, the kingdom of God is not a myth, but factually a different and transcendental sphere of planets known as the Vaikunthas. This will be explained in this chapter. Such knowledge of the spiritual sky far above this material sky and its paraphernalia can be known only by dint of devotional service or bhakti yoga. Count how many times Prabhupada says, only by dint of bhakti yoga in this purport, and how many times he says, only by the mercy of the Lord. Let's see who can get it. So there's one. Such knowledge of the spiritual sky far above this material sky and its paraphernalia can be known only by dint of devotional service or bhakti yoga. The power of creation by Lord Brahma was also achieved by bhakti yoga. Brahmaji was bewildered in the matter of creation, and he could not even trace out the source of his own existence. But all this knowledge was fully achieved by him through the medium of bhakti yoga. By bhakti yoga, one can know the Lord, and by knowing the Lord as the Supreme, one is able to know everything else. One who knows the Supreme knows everything else. That is the version of all Vedas. Even the first spiritual master of the universe was enlightened by the grace of the Lord. So who else can attain perfect knowledge of everything without the mercy of the Lord? If anyone desires to seek perfect knowledge of everything, he must seek the mercy of the Lord, and there is no other means. To seek knowledge on the strength of one's personal attempt is a sheer waste of time. Okay, who's got the scores?
Three, by the mercy of the Lord.
Three.
By the mercy of the Lord.
Three times by the mercy of the Lord. Okay. How about bhakti yoga?
Six total.
Six total. Okay. That's what I got. Bhakti yoga and mercy of the Lord. Okay, good job. We're going to go through the purport again. That's the way I like to do it. I like to squeeze everything you can, and there's always a lot left in here. So the verse again. Lord Brahma, the first spiritual master, supreme in the universe, could not trace out the source of his lotus seat. And while thinking of creating the material world, he could not understand the proper direction for such creative work, nor could he find out the process for such creation. Prabhupada says this verse is the prelude for explaining the transcendental nature of the form and the abode of the Lord. So the prelude means Brahma is bewildered. He doesn't know where to go, what to do, how to do it, and it just looks impossible. And anyone that's been out on book distribution and you experience that and it just seems like, how am I going to do this? I got no idea what I'm doing out here. Of all people, why me? I'm the least qualified. And this place looks completely impossible. These people have no interest in book distribution or in any service. When you're put somewhere, like, go and open a temple here. And you go there and like, why here? These are the dumbest people. This is the dumbest place. Why did I come to this place? And so that's the prelude for understanding things. Because, we're going to read in the next verse, Brahma hears two syllables. So when you're in complete anxiety, when you completely empty yourself of all ego and all, you feel completely unqualified, then you become a receptacle for getting the mercy of Krishna, which six times he says in this verse, that's the only way. You have to empty yourself and realize it's only through Krishna's mercy that we can do anything. And here is the Adi Deva and the original demigod of the universe, Sa Adi Devo Jagatam Paro Guru. And how's Paro Guru? Paru, supreme guru, spiritual master. So he's the supreme spiritual master in our sampradaya, Lord Brahma. From the very first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma is mentioned because this book is in the Brahma sampradaya, the Brahma. He explains to Narada. Narada explains to Vyas. Vyas writes this down. He's in the line. So the first verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also mentions in the second sentence, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has already been said that the Supreme Absolute Truth exists in his own abode without any touch of the deluding energy. That would be the last line of the first verse. So the first verse, Janmadhyasya yatan vayad itaratascha teshwabhigyaswarat. Tene Brahma, Hridaya Adhikavi. So there's Brahma mentioned as Tene Brahma, Hridaya Adhikavi, Muyant Yat Surayaha. So we're meditating, the last line is Dhimahi. We meditate upon this person who is Janmadhyasya Yatan Vayari Taratas Chateshwabhig Yaswarat. The person who gave Brahma, gave spiritual knowledge to Adhikavi. And how did he give it? Just two syllables. Everything's packed into these little tiny packages. And this is the exciting thing about being a disciple. You have to be sharp. You have to empty yourself. You have to be in complete anxiety. Then you get a little tiny thread of an instruction. We look at our whole sampradaya. Everybody just gets a little tiny something, and they make a great big thing out of it. Prabhupada just heard a couple things from his guru. Print books, distribute books, preach to English-speaking people. He didn't even really tell them, go to the West. He was telling that to everybody. But specifically to Prabhupada, he said, speak in English. Help English-speaking people. Prabhupada took that. He expanded on it. He took one little instruction, one little thing, and used that as a foundation to build great big buildings all over the world. So, and all of us, he's given us a little tiny bit of instruction, and we wonder, how do we do this? I didn't get to sit with Prabhupada and get all kinds of detailed information, but how did Brahma get it? So this is our tradition. You get just a little hint, you take that into your heart, you meditate on it for how many 10,000 years of the demigods. Alright, so we're going to go through the purport again. This verse is the prelude for explaining the transcendental nature of the form and abode of the Lord. That's going to be opened up in the next few verses. And then culminating in the four main verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, we got these little capsules, everything expands from them. And the final conclusion of the four verses is, let's see if I can remember it, etavad eva jignyasa tat jignyasunatmana anvayat yatari kabhyam yat syat sarvatra sarvada. So Krishna tells him all of these things. I'm everywhere, I'm in everything, and you should look for me in all circumstances, in all situations, in all places. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, all people, everywhere. He uses this as proof. This isn't just for people in India. It's for the whole world. It's for everyone. Yat syat sarvatra sarvada. He takes things very literally. Let's see what else. And so Krishna is saying, this is what your focus should be all the time, in all circumstances, when you're taking a shower in the morning, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're driving on a long drive, when you're holding a baby in your lap, when all circumstances, all situations, always be searching for this. This was the answer. After 10,000 years of meditation, Krishna's answer is, keep looking. It's directly never, directly and indirectly, yes. He's right there, you're looking at the deities, you're looking at Krishna when Krishna appears to him. It says, kara sprisha, they touch hands. Prabhupada translates it, they shake hands. There he is, it's not just an imaginary vision, but this form of the Lord is actually shaking hands. They touch hands. There's some experience. So directly, there he is. And then indirectly, okay, and then the second verse. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has already been said that the Supreme Absolute Truth exists in his own abode without any touch of the deluding energy. What's that last line? Last line of the first verse. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Okay, those that know it, let's say it together. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. So satyam param, the highest truth, dhimahi, let's meditate upon that, who exists, dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. So kuhaka means illusion, nirasta means without. So we're going to meditate on that place, on that situation. When we're in Boone, North Carolina, we're just the two of us trying to run a little tiny preaching center amongst college students, and we'd gather them and read, and in one of the readings there is the progression of how We start with Shraddha and gradually become Anartha Nivritti, and we talked about that. This one college student, she asked, is that really possible? That someone can really become free from, you know, anger and greed and lust and all of these kinds of, it's like, really? Is that really possible? I've never seen it. And so it was a sincere question. Are we capable of that? And are we really capable of becoming nirastakuhakam? Is there such a situation? So even just to meditate upon that is enlightening. Like, let's just meditate on the possibility that we can become free from all of our lower qualities, anartha nivritti. And even after that stage, which seems to us impossible, but that's our work. That's our job description. At this point, we are struggling with anartha nivritti, clearing away all of the bad things. And along with anartha nivritti is artha pravritti, developing good qualities to fill in all of the stuff we're taking away. Anartha nivritti, and then there are several other stages after that, ruchi, asakti,
nishta,
bhava. Yes, finally, it's like praying, like, how am I ever going to get there? That's like trying to create the whole universe from just two syllables. All right, here's your instructions. Two syllables. Dapa. Think about that. So Prabhupada's given us more than two syllables. Our mantra is 32 syllables. And we take it with sincerity and attention and focus. And something I've thought about is, even if you don't know how to chant Hare Krishna, I tell people, just focus on chanting Hare Krishna, because, as explained in the Shikshastikam, knowledge comes from the mantra. The mantra will teach you how to chant itself, if you do it sincerely. So, therefore, the kingdom of God is not a myth, but factually a different and transcendental sphere of planets known as the Vaikunthas. This will also be explained in this chapter. Okay, end of the first paragraph. So now he opens up a new section here in the next paragraph. So, and this is the paragraph talking about how only by the mercy of the Lord, only through bhakti yoga, are we able to do this. Although it starts with tapa, maybe I'll talk on that. Tapa, which is going to be introduced in the next verse. And I've read through this with new people. Some are really resistant when they hear this word penance, because they've come from Christian backgrounds. Penance means like, I've done something wrong, I need to punish myself. And they really have a problem with this. So we've looked it up. All right, what does tapa literally mean? And it's very educational. We've gotten a lot from it. Tapa literally means heat, fire, and purifying yourself with taking on voluntary trouble. And one devotee was talking about this tapa. It says, like, he said, like, when you're in the kitchen, you have all kinds of ingredients. You get rice, flour, water, spices, vegetables. You put them all together, but it's the fire that makes it cook into making khichdi, chapatis, halva. Without the fire, you can just mix things up and maybe you can make a salad, but you can't cook anything. So we can have knowledge, we can have money, we can have resources, manpower, we can have influence, but without tapa, we can't do anything. And so this idea of, but let's see, if all you have is tapa, you're not going to get anywhere. If all you have is the flame on your stove and nothing to put in the pot, you don't even have a pot, you're not going to do anything. Just doing tapa for the sake of tapa is pointless. And just having wealth, having knowledge, all of these things are also, having good character, these are all really nice, but without the seed of bhakti, it's like preparing a garden. If you practice good character, if you practice tapasya, but no one has planted the seed of bhakti in there. It's like preparing your garden, keeping all the weeds down, you've worked up the soil, you've fertilized it, but you didn't put any seeds. There's not going to be anything there. So tapasya, just the idea, the understanding, accepting, I'm going to have to go through some hardships. And to embrace that, all right, let's go. Let's take this on. Not that we throw ourselves into unnecessary tapasya, but just accept. There's going to be some trouble. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to try to get everything I can from the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. All of the answers are in there, just like Brahma only got 2 syllables. I get 32. Everything's there. I'm going to sit down, and immediately my mind's going to say, let's do something else. All right, if we're not going to do something else, let's think about something else. Let's make, what are we going to do after we're done chanting? But just to be present for that, that is tapa. It takes some fire, it takes some heat to stay on the task. Tapa. All right, so. And while we do that, we empty ourselves and we realize, I'm completely unable to do this. So that's the second verse of the Shikshastakam. It says, I can't do this. And it's a form of humility, of being unable to do this. I'm no good. I don't have the facility to do this. I don't have the sincerity to do this. I don't even appreciate it. That's the second one. Then when we make some progress, then we go into the third verse, which is a very real kind of humility. First one is a humility like out of embarrassment. The next one, where we can actually chant constantly, is actual humility that comes from seeing how great Krishna is and how small we are. So, the second paragraph of the purport, such knowledge of the spiritual sky far above this material sky and its paraphernalia can be known only by dint of devotional service or bhakti yoga. Has anyone ever looked up the word dint? Look, someone want to look it up? It's pretty interesting. By dint. We're the only group of people that still use that word. If you say by dint of something, people are going to look at you like, they might get it by context, but we are the...
An impression or hollow inner surface.
Say it again.
An impression or hollow inner surface.
Oh.
A blow or a stroke.
So that's... D-I-N-T?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so similar to dent, D-E-N-T. But it doesn't give the meaning that Prabhupada's using it. She's going to go a little further, okay. Such knowledge of the spiritual sky far above this material sky and its paraphernalia can be known only by dint of devotional service or bhakti yoga. The power of creation by Lord Brahma was also achieved by bhakti yoga. So knowledge, power of creation. Brahmaji was bewildered in the matter of creation, and he could not even trace out the source of his own existence. But all this knowledge was fully achieved by him through the medium of bhakti yoga.
I got it.
Okay.
By means of,
okay. But further in that definition, it goes further into the dent definition too. And yeah. Okay. So just a little side issue. Okay. So we're learning older English by dint of Prabhupada's word usage. Okay, so knowledge, power of creation, all comes from bhakti yoga. What kind of bhakti yoga is Brahma doing? He's all by himself. All he gets is two syllables. He doesn't even know who spoke them. So how can that be bhakti yoga?
He concentrates his mind and senses.
Concentrates his mind and senses. Okay, and that's bhakti yoga?
On Krishna, on Lord Krishna.
On Krishna, yeah. But he didn't even know it was Krishna.
Yeah.
Or did he? In the last verse?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, well,
I'll have to look at that again.
Initially,
we didn't
know.
That's true. He's not a learner
yet. Yes, definitely not. All right, so text 4 says, O King, the personality of Godhead, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma, because of his non-deceptive penance in bhakti yoga, there's that bhakti yoga again, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma, and that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. So this is kind of at text 5, there's a change of the first 4 verses of the chapter are directly answering Parikshit's questions about the living entity achieving its, becoming situated in his constitutional glory, enjoying transcendence beyond time and material energy, giving up the 2 misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becoming fully manifested as the pure self. He's answering his question about how the living entity has become contaminated in material conceptions, how he can get out, and now he is using Brahma as an example of how he gets out of illusion. Text 4, he says, the Lord was pleased with Lord Brahma and showed him his eternal and transcendental form. That is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned souls. So he says that. Now he goes into the story. Here's how it happened. First, Brahma was bewildered, didn't know where he was, who he was, what he was supposed to do. He was searching with what he had at hand. How is it bhakti yoga? That's the question. He's using the word a lot, yes.
I'm thinking his mood was a submissive mood.
Mm. Yeah, he had a submissive mood. He heard the voice. He didn't know who it was. Accepted that knowledge and surrendered to it. Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, I like that. I'll go with that. Anybody else? Anything more?
Yeah. But then you can stay the same.
There and there.
He meditated on sound vibration.
Okay. Meditated on a sound vibration, and so that is bhakti yoga. Okay, that's one of the practices of bhakti yoga. Good.
But if we just surrender to any voice, you said he did not know where the voice was coming from. So I could ask you the same question. If he surrendered to any voice, that's not bhakti yoga.
To surrender to any voice, is that bhakti yoga?
Because when I said, is it mind and senses, you said he concentrated his mind and senses. You said that's not bhakti yoga. So surrendering to an anonymous voice, is that Bhakti Yoga?
If it's Krishna's voice.
Then same thing, he was concentrating on Krishna's voice. His mind and senses on Krishna's voice.
Service for Bhakti Yoga. So it wasn't just like the sound vibration, but what happened is also he was meditating. What is the astya, or what is the, where is it coming from? I mean, there's quite a bit more involved in that.
So he was searching, where is it coming from? Well, first he was searching, where have I come from? Yes.
But what he was meditating on is the source of it. And because of that, and you know, like I said, it's not just one thing, but there's a combination of things.
All right.
This is Devi Brahma Hida Adikala in the heart. So he
in the first describes Hirda Adikavaye, so this Adikavi, he could feel that something in the heart. And so we also sometimes, I think even when so many of us, when we became devotees, we could see something in the heart telling us to go and check that out. You know, these people would know. So I think it's, he's certainly, his intelligence has got four heads there. So he's got good intelligence. And so, yeah, it's the heart.
Good, yeah, I like that. So it came within his heart, he followed the dictations of his heart. It was more than just a voice, it was a voice that spoke to his heart. And also when we first come into this, we can say, we didn't know anything about Krishna, just something hit us in the heart. And by reading these books, the books become self-evident, they prove themselves. Prabhupada's speaking, Prabhupada says, this is authoritative. When we first came upon it, we didn't know. We just thought, this looks pretty cool. I don't have anything better going on. I might as well look a little deeper. Brahma is in this situation. He hasn't heard anything else. Just these two syllables. There's something beyond, coming from beyond this region. So by his intelligence, he could understand, this is something transcendent, I should follow this. And there was something else I wanted to read, that when there is a culture of seeing knowledge as something to be respected, something to be appreciated, it creates a culture which is very good for growth, for learning. And cultured people, at work, one of the workers was about to take his driving test, somebody from India, and the boss asked me, could you take him out, let him get a little practice driving in your car? And I said, sure. So I got in my car, was driving around, and I said, you know, I give him little instructions here and there. Then when we got back, he said, now I will give some Guru Dakshin. And he opened up his wallet, and he handed me $20 bills, like three $20 bills. And I was like, surprised, like, what? I wasn't expecting this. But he misread my expression, and he said, oh, it's not enough? And he gave me another one, and another one, and I was like, and he said, no, you keep this, because if the guru is not pleased, you don't get gyan. So I thought, what kind of culture is this where they feel you have to please your teacher, or you're not going to understand the lesson? And I thought, this is really a good kind of culture, when you You know, imagine, all the teachers are probably like, yeah, like that. But to teach that to kids, that you have to please your teacher, otherwise you're not going to learn the lesson. So many, like when I was a kid, I was not trying to please my teachers. I didn't have a high regard for knowledge, but knowledge, transcendental knowledge, any kind of knowledge. This person was raised that anyone that teaches you anything, you have to please that teacher. So later on coming up, I know when we get there, we're going to have to just zip right through this. But this is the last verse of the four main shlokas, Etavad Eva Jignyasa, Tattva Jignyasa Natmana, that you should search for this. Always be inquisitive in all places, in all situations, at all time. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all the various students of self-realization. This ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. So expect it to be some work. One who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji. And that is the direction given here. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in that disciplic succession. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. Okay, so here's where Prabhupada brings it close to home. He does this all the time. He's talking about Brahma creating the whole universe, talks about the Brahma disciplic succession, and then he says, you're just like this. You're just like Lord Brahma. In the next sentence, although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures in this connection, one still requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and that is the direction in this verse. The bona fide spiritual master is the most confidential representative of the Lord, and one must receive direction from the spiritual master in the same spirit that Brahmaji received it from the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master in that bona fide chain of disciplic succession never claims to be the Lord himself. Although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience. Okay, I'm going to read that sentence again, but I'm going to finish up the paragraph. The Lord is not to be found simply by education or by a good, fertile brain, but surely he can be found by the sincere student through the transparent medium of the bona fide spiritual master. So that's what's going on in this verse, and that's what's going to be explained in text 36, another 31 verses later. Just wanted to bring that up, but I thought this was interesting. The bona fide spiritual master in that bona fide chain of disciplic succession never claims to be the Lord himself, although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience. So when he's talking about this bona fide chain of disciplic succession, he's talking about you and us. We are in that chain. Prabhupada expects us to continue the chain because that's us delivering the Lord by your personally realized experience. You're greater than the Lord. Because someone's going to come up, you're going to go up to someone and grab them by the shirt and say something to them that will affect them. Because Krishna's sitting in this book, he's sitting in their heart, he may say something to them, but you come up and grab them and shake them up and say, look what this says here. And then you're going to say something that you got from it, and then that's going to connect. And you are the perfect person for somebody out there. Everybody is different. And sometimes it takes the most unusual person to convince somebody else. A little kid or someone that... Anyway, movement is full of unusual people, and every one of us is important to someone, and that everyone includes whoever's listening to this. All right, so I'll open this up here. Did anybody say anything online? Any notices online? Okay, online people. We're trying to include you. And I'll throw out one more thing. There are, in the purport, Prabhupada says so many times, only through bhakti yoga is this possible, only by dint of bhakti yoga. So what other places are there where it says only through bhakti yoga this is possible? I'm sure we can come up with at least 50.
1855.
Okay. Give him the microphone, let him. You got to translate.
One thing I want to say about Brahma that didn't come up.
Yes.
The most important thing is that he's a devotee.
That's his main qualification, is that he's a devotee. He was enlightened by the Lord himself, as it says in the Brahma Samhita, Attaveno Niradasya Trayamurti Mahigati, that he got the Gayatri in his heart. He was initiated by the Supreme Godhead himself. So it's no ordinary situation. You know, sitting there in the dark tapa, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He's a devotee, and Krishna goes in his heart and enlightens him.
At what stage did he become a devotee, or was he always a devotee?
So that's a good question.
As soon as he heard the two syllables, was he imbued with devotion?
I think before that he was a devotee. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion from reading Brahma Samhita. He had to be a devotee.
Oh, you're eternally a devotee. Are you an impersonalist?
Well, they don't know.
Yeah, well, there you go. But, you know, he's always devoted. He's had, hey, I got a little thing. Lord Brahma's head of our sampradaya is like an acharya. And sometimes we talk about him, oh, why'd you do this, and you do that, and he became a devotee, you know.
Yes.
He's like an acharya. He's like, you know, head of the whole sampradaya. He's kind of, you know, didn't just sort of stumble into it like we did, you know.
And the other qualification, he was, what is that? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. He's inquisitive. He was looking out for his source.
Okay, his qualification was he was inquisitive, and he's always a devotee, and Sita D. Muni says everyone's a devotee.
Well,
and
I mean,
just waiting to manifest.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I'm not challenging you. I'm giving class on Monday, which is following this. And I just don't want to say anything wrong. So I'm taking your shelter or requesting you to just look at it once more. So far with me?
Which one?
So I'm not challenging you any ways. Okay, not previously, not now. But I just want to clarify because I'm giving the class on the next verse on Monday. On Monday, I'm giving class on the next verse, sixth verse, okay? So just bear with me for one more minute. So in sixth one, it says that Brahma was initiated right after that word tapa. And then he did tapasya for 1,000 years. Do you agree or did I misunderstand that you said you did not agree with that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And then if you go to 2.7, it says that he did tapasya, which was constant by senses of means, you know, so are you on 2.7 now, where I can read what I'm reading from 2.7, the next one after 2.6. Lord Brahma controlled his two grades of senses by means of sense perceptions and sense organs because he had to engage such senses in the execution of the order of the Lord. So is my understanding correct? I'm again asking the same question. I really apologize. But based on Prabhupada's purport, is my understanding correct that he did tapasya, which means he controlled his mind and senses and concentrated on Lord, meditated on Lord? Sorry for any inconvenience.
You read that in the purport?
2.7, yes, sir. 2.7, third paragraph in the purport, or fourth.
Meditating on the Lord, yeah.
Yeah. So is that understanding correct? He did tapasya, which means he controlled mind and senses on Lord's words.
Yeah. Where is that?
Fourth paragraph in the...
Oh, okay.
I can show you here if I...
Fourth paragraph in 7. Okay. All right. It's okay.
Okay.
I heard it. Yes, he's meditating on the Lord, what he knows of the Lord, which is just the two syllables. There's so much going on here. How much is revealed through those two syllables, and then finally he sees the form. The whole form is revealed. Krishna comes and shakes hands with him. Three-dimensional form that he can touch. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Well, at least nowadays people in India, usually they'll like take both hands and hold them, and while they're talking, they look in each other's eyes while they're holding their hands. And so it's not just a quick shake. Karasparsha. All right, shall we end here? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.